We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening. Can you imagine how it must feel to have Frank Muir sitting on your left hand? Which is what I've got. That's the situation I'm in. Not only Frank Muir, but also John Amis. And then, on the other side, their opponents, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. And on to the first round. Beginnings and endings, gentlemen. The question is, of course, what comes in between. So, John Amis, you first. What begins like this and ends like this? I think you've got it.
I'm tempted to say the overture to Bastien et Bastienne.
What key is it in?
E-flat.
Well, that was E-flat too.
Yes.
Oh.
It's the Eroica.
Yes, it's the Eroica by...
Oh, Beethoven.
Yeah, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, that's right. who was...
Couldn't you tell whose version it was?
No. It didn't sound quick enough for Schulte, and it didn't sound quite slow enough for Klemperer.
Well, it was Klemperer, actually.
It was Klemperer.
From the Klemperer recording, yes.
It's noisy for Mantovani, I think.
Yes. I came across a rather nice Klemperer story only today, as it happens. You know he used to compose?
No.
Well, he did. Like a lot of conductors, and like a lot of conductors, his music is not all that wonderful. Mahler was the exception. Anyway, having recorded all the Beethoven concertos with Daniel Barenboim, Daniel got a call, would he go and see Klemperer at the Hyde Park Hotel immediately? So he rushed off there and found Klemperer there with a pianist and a singer and a large pile of music by Klemperer. So they sang through about 98 songs, and then Klemperer said, "Do you like my music?" And Barenboim gulped and said, "No, Dr. Klemperer." And then very soon afterwards made his adieus and went. And as he went out, Klemperer said to his daughter, "I like that boy, you know. He's honest." No judge of music, mind you.
So, well, you've got us off to a flying start, John. It was indeed the Eroica Symphony, and you get a mark. Frank Muir, your turn. What begins like this and ends like this?
It begins with the nose of a large cat, and ends with the end of the tail of a large cat.
Yes, member of the cat family.
Both of the cat family. Yes, the incidental was title music to the Pink Panther.
That's right, Pink Panther in and out. Yes, music by Henry Mancini. That's right. Ian, your turn. What begins like this and ends like this?
One of the things that comes between those two bits of music is one of the great lines of W.S. Gilbert, which is the one that goes, "She may very well pass for 43 in the dusk with a light behind her."
Yes,
that's right. It's trial by jury.
Trial by jury, yes. Gilbert and Sullivan, trial by jury. Dennis, your turn. See if you can get the mark. What begins like this and ends like this?
Well, as it was really the only song in the show,
to use it for the overture,
yes, it was maimed. There was actually one line in it that was good, where she said, "Life is a banquet, but most poor suckers are starving to death." Yeah. That was the only line in the show. And that yes. really was the only song as well, wasn't it?
I thought you might guess it because the last chord they shouted was, Mame!
Yes, yeah. So I know, well, I heard that. That's the opening.
Exactly. Mm. Everybody's got a mark, and we move on to the next round, which is purely verbal. John, in 1833, at a benefit in Paris for an actress who had broken her leg, Liszt and Chopin played entr'acte music. Who organised the concert?
I should think it was her future husband.
That's right.
Whose name was Hector Berlioz.
And she was?
Harriet Smithson, an Irish actress with whom he fell in love.
Mm. Dramatically.
Yes. Dramatically and unfortunately.
Yes, indeed.
Rather untactful for Liszt to turn up with a girl with a broken leg.
I've got a little list, she sang. Yes, that's right. Frank, your question. What was used by Charles I and later by George IV?
Well, something which wasn't in fact available to Charles I.
That's right.
It's the lavatory in a stately home. It was used by Charles I.
Quite informally.
Informally, and later by George IV on the journey north. In those days, it would be a privy.
Yes, it would be in those days. Yes, it was from Nulcard, Stately Hills of England. Yes, right. Ian, in which song will you find language profane and obscene?
Oh, a good many. I can think of a number that I've sung in the earlier part of one's life. One that began, "A queer bird, the cuckoo, he sits on the grass." I wouldn't go any further than that.
And as "Our Lil" was the best.
Another one that began, "I left the ballroom early." Yeah. But I suspect you're looking for a quotation, and I'm afraid I don't know.
Quote, "language profane and obscene," unquote. That phrase actually comes in the song. Dennis, I think, can help you probably.
I can.
Is it Gilbert and Sullivan?
No, it's Card again, Noel Card. She refused to begin the begin, though they besought her to, and in language profane and obscene, she cursed the man who taught her to, she cursed Cole Porter to.
Oh, yeah.
I'm afraid you dropped the mark here, didn't you? Dennis, Beethoven was 30 when he did it for the first time. Brahms was 43. Elgar was 51 when he did it for the first time. I was 16. What was it?
They develop early in Lincoln.
Or they develop late elsewhere. You did it as 16.
Well, I did, actually.
Now, what
yes.
would be typical of you and of Beethoven? They joined a pension scheme.
I don't think you could be denied a mark for that.
I suppose something that they wrote.
Yes, that's right. We all wrote. Yes,
you wrote.
All music students at 16 write this.
Yes,
that's right.
Did you write a symphony at 16?
Yes, of course. Yes, a very short one. Never performed. Yes, Beethoven's first symphony at 30, Brahms at 43, and so on. They wrote their first symphonies.
You're not going to play yours to us, are you, Steve?
No, I'm not.
Half in expectancy, I asked the question.
I know. It was never performed. It looked on paper very much like the music of Delius. As did all the other music one wrote when one was 16, John, right?
Me too.
Yeah. Yes.
Steve Race wrote a symphony. Too bad he went and finished it.
Right, let's go on to the next round. The piano medley this week consists, as usual, of 8 tunes or themes. The first 4 tunes or themes for Frank and John to identify. The second 4 tunes or themes for Ian and Dennis to identify. Here we go with the 8-tune medley. you.
Right. They were lovely. I didn't get any.
Well, perhaps
except
your partner,
Cigana, which
your,
wasn't ours.
No, it wasn't yours. No. Your partner might have got the first little hint.
The first one sounded like the beginning of a Chopin Fantasy Impromptu.
The Chopin Fantasy Impromptu. Yes. Right, that gets you half a mark. Then came, Frank, did you get...
Yes, I know the tune. I don't know what it's called.
Now, you know that one, Dennis, don't you?
Gotta have respect. It's the Godfather.
Killing opera, can't refuse it.
The thing from out of...
It's the theme from The Godfather.
Then there was a bit of Sibelius' Second Symphony.
Yeah, before that there was a little bit of I Concentrate on You.
I Concentrate on You.
Sibelius' Second Symphony. You have one mark out of two, half mark each. The other four, Ian.
I didn't get the first one.
Giannina Mia.
Oh, I adore you.
Giannina Mia. That's right, yes. Then the next one.
Toscelli's Serenade.
Yes. Yes, Serenata sometimes. Usually, I think people call it Toscelli's Serenata, but certainly it's Toscelli's Serenade, yes. Next two, last two?
Cigana, that's the one that's got the marvellous pause before you swoop on it.
Yes. And the last little bit. I'll see you again. Four out of four. Two marks out of two. Very good.
I think we should change sides every.
Hold hard. We're going to listen to brief snatches of song from four of my favourite singers. They may not be pronounced correctly, but their names, in order of you hearing them, will be Fringilla Celebs, Fala Crocorax Carbo, Ericathus or something, Rubecula, and Pika Pika. That's the fourth one. Pika 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 Pika, don't you hear them?
When he said snatches from my four favourite singers, well, I thought he meant us.
Well, no. These are all birds. They're all birds of the British Isles. They too make music, so they take their place in this programme, My Music. So, it's a case of identifying them. John, which bird, please, is this?
I think he's that man who used to be on radio, you know. So I got up early in the morning, and then I heard the... Come along, Rover, come along, Rover. So I think I'll say it was Fred Bloggs.
Yes,
imitating a bird. Is it a blackbird?
Imitating Percy Edwards. No, it's not a blackbird. It's a song that always, to me, seems to end in a little paroxysm of whistling, as that is all... little paroxysm. It's a chaffinch. It was a chaffinch. So we can't give you the mark. Frank, yours is a rather different kind of bird, as you are no doubt expecting, and it sounds as though it itself is expecting, too. Here it is. Any ideas?
It's an unhappy bird.
Yeah. I'm not too happy fellow Crocorax Carbo, actually.
I would say it's a seabird with its foot caught.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is absolutely unbelievable, because on the record label in the BBC Effects Library, it says cormorant, and then in brackets, foot caught. And they wanted to throw it out of the library. I said, no, I'll have that for Frank. Frank, I'm going to give you a mark for seabird, because a seabird it was literally a cormorant burping. Ian, my favourite of all, I think certainly this is the best singer in my garden, and I suspect the best singer in your garden too.
Yes, I have heard that in my garden.
Are you sure it wasn't from next door?
Well, yeah, that's possible.
Yes.
But they may have one as well.
What,
yes.
Then would it be?
Well, it's a domestic bird. There are a lot of them. Probably every garden's got... you've got one, I've got one. I wish my wife was here, because she's the bird expert in our... I know what they look like, but I never know what they sound like.
Well, it's, no, you don't know what the name is. You recognise that red breast, but you don't know what they're called.
Ah, yes. Oh, how kind you are. Yes, it must be... If it's got a red breast, then it has to be a robin.
Yes, I think you will expect no marks for that.
Yes, I have no expectation.
That was his spring song we heard. He's a member of the Nightingale family, incidentally, so he ought to be a bit of a...
Is he really?
Only by marriage.
Yeah. bird, a robin, isn't it?
Oh, yes, they're very nasty people, actually, robins.
Yes, they're all frightful. They look nice because they trot after you in the garden, but they're really very vicious things.
There's a monograph about a robin, there's a book about a robin, which is really a very nasty life story, indeed.
Well, they defend their own territory, don't they?
Yes.
Who doesn't?
And they're the really nasty ones at the bird table. Dennis, you've had lots of experience on this show. Give me an impression of the kind of bird song you think I've got in store for you.
No. Yep. Last time we did bird song, and I publicly, over the wireless, said that I can't stand bird song, because all it ever does is wake me up when I want to go to sleep. And I had dozens of letters calling me all sorts of nasty names, since when I read Robert Benchley had a theory that since we cannot possibly know what goes inside a bird's brain, the cry of a meadowlark could be due to pain, possibly, says Benchley, a severe headache. So I am not alone in this particular antipathy. Now, I don't know what bird song you're going to give me, but it's going to be something very down market.
Well, let's see.
Woody Woodpecker.
No. No, it's a genuine bird. It's the Piker Piker. Here he is.
Is he?
I think so.
Have a
my,
go, Ian.
My answering service here says it's a magpie.
A mark. It's a magpie. It's a magpie.
I'm better on the bigger ones.
Right. Just a quick round this. It's about the words of popular songs. Occasionally in the popular song you'll come across a really interesting little visual image or a strange word, like in famous one in Moon River, you know, Dennis, my huckleberry friend. You know, these are just rather noticeable words from popular songs. It won't take us long. John Amis, where will you find the word discourteously?
Non so. Don't know.
Audience, please.
Friend?
Greensleeves, yes. Cast me off discourteously. It's in Greensleeves. Never mind, you dropped a mark there. Frank, one for you, a word that doesn't often occur in the popular songs of Tin Pan Alley. Deride.
You took me for deride. What?
Thanks for debuggy deride, I suppose. Yes.
Oh, smoke gets in your lungs.
Came from the lake.
When laughing friends deride,
yes, right.
Tears I cannot hide. Oh, ho, ho, ho.
That gets a mark to the lady in the audience. That's right. None to Frank. Ian, I think your partner knows this one, but try it on your own. Unphotographable.
Oh.
Which song is that from?
No, that's...
Not one you know, is it?
I can only think of sort of sweet embraceable, unphotographable.
You dropped the mark, the equivalent mark to the one that John dropped. Yes. Dennis, you can tell him, can't you?
My funny Valentine.
Yes.
Your looks are laughable.
Unphotographable. Oh. That's right. Yes. Dennis, your word, slurp. Occurs three times, actually.
Slurp into the barrel. Yes, it's advocates. What's
that?
An old fashioned girl. Yes. Is it? Yeah. It's about the oil. Slurp into the barrel.
Into the barrels. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. You'll recall that Browning once wrote, "My heart leaps when I hear great singing."
Gone abroad.
Home thoughts from abroad. The subject of the four final party piece songs is, can you guess, love. John, from Così fan tutte, an alluring eye. Allora amoroso. A nice, right, gentle, lovely. Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of A major.
Keyboard.
Yes, I will do it. Here's a key.
Una roba rossa del nostro tesoro, un dolce ristoro al capo gerà. Una
correspondence course since the last series,
haven't you? Fortunately, Tutti don't all it own. I'll start that again. I've started, so I'll finish. is it really worth it, I asked myself. But I was going to say, Tutti don't do it cosy. They do it a bit melior.
Yes. Wasn't worth it, was it?
Never mind.
It
wasn't worth it. No,
Frank.
Hello.
Gene Hagen sang it screechingly in the film Singing in the Rain. Gene Kelly sang it much more pleasantly. Now it's your turn. He holds her in his arms. Would you?
Oh, lovely. It's oh, lovely. God, I ruin it. It's a beautiful song. It's the fella is sees the girl, and she's reading a romantic novel, isn't it? And he says, she holds him in her arms. Would you? And tells him of his charms. Would you? They met as you and I, and they were only friends. But before the story ends, she'll kiss him with a sigh. Would you? If that boy were I, would you, and would you dare to say, let's do the same as they? I would. Would you?
I never thought I'd enjoy a Muir song as much as an Amis song, but I did that one.
It's lovely. Yeah.
Dennis, not for the first...
You took a deep breath, Mr. Dennis, with a note of resignation.
Yes, not for the first or the last time. Your song is about spooning. I imagine people do still spoon, do they? I don't know. They don't call it that, anyway. Miss Hilda Glider, according to the song copy, made a great success with this song. Oh, I don't care a lot for a lot of it.
Oh, yes. No, just remind me of the tune. Care a lot. Oh, yes. Oh, I don't care a lot for a lot of it, but I do care a lot for a little bit. Too much loving gets you in a muddle, so three hearty cheers for a little bit of cuddle. Oh, I won't spoon with a fat girl, with a thin girl. I might, 'cause I don't care a lot for a lot of it, but a little bit of it's all right.
Fine, Jim, it's a high standard tonight.
It is. Follow that with no rose in all the world until you came. Yeah. I'll give you a key and see.
No rose in all the world until you came. No star until you smiled upon life's sea. No song in all the world until you spoke. No hope until you gave your heart to me. Oh, rose bloom ever in my lonely heart. Oh, star, shine steadfast with your light divine. Bring on, oh, song, your melody of joy. Life's crowned at last. And love is ever mine.
Lovely old ballad. Now, was there something else? Oh, yes, that final score. It's a victory for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiner.